Start. Okay, Sister Kathy. Sister Kathy, can you hear me?
Good morning, Stoke-Newington. And a very special welcome to everyone. My name is Kathleen Stewart, and it is my delight to welcome each and every one of you to Stoke-Newington Zoom Divine Service. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you, each and every one. You could have chosen another venue, but you've chosen Stoke-Newington, and we thank you. We thank God for bringing us through another week. Some did not make it, but we lean on the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Let us determine in our hearts that as long as God gives us breath, we will never cease to come into his courts to give him praise by whatever means. In this time of lockdown, we are happy to have this avenue where we can meet, not physically, but virtually, where we can see each other's lovely faces and your beautiful smiles, because it brings great joy to each and every one of us. I hope that as we worship together, we will taste and see that God is indeed good. Have a great Sabbath, each and every one of you. Let us bow our heads as we approach the throne of grace in prayer. Dear Father, we give you praise for your abundant mercy and praise. We thank you for your faithfulness, even though we are not faithful to you at times. We ask that you give us peace in our minds and remove everything that is causing sorrow in our lives. Please guide our path through life. Let your angels of peace go ahead of us when we go out and stay with us when we return home. We lift up all those who mourn. Please remember Errol and his family at this sad time as he prepares to lay his dear mother to rest. Remember all those who have lost their loved ones. We remember the Smith family, the Lawrence family, Sister Brown's family, Sister Ruby and her family, Sister Gwen's family, and there are many more that, Lord, I have failed to remember. We too as members mourn with our members as they lose their loved ones, especially during this time when we are not even to join with them to pay our respects. Lord, please comfort all who mourn and thank you for the assurance in Thessalonians, which says, we should not grieve like those without hope. We look forward to that great getting up morning if we are faithful, when we shall meet our loved ones. Oh, what a great rejoicing that will be. And for those who are sick and isolated, remember Tony James, Lord, be with him. Sister Ennis, the Pyle family, Sister Flo, Sister Reed, Sister Henry, Sister Henderson, Sister DeSilva, and many more, Lord, we pray that you will be with them. We ask you to bring healing, comfort and peace to their bodies. Calm their fears, Lord, and let them experience the healing power of your love. We commit our speaker to you this morning, Lord. Use him mightily to bring words of hope for us in this present time. And at the end, Lord, let us confidently say that neither height nor depth, nor any else in all creation, will able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, and we pray that you will be with each and every one of us through this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. I hope you all have had a blessed week. Today our scripture readings come from 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21 and 2 Kings 2, 9 to 13. That's 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21 and 2 Kings 2, 9 to 13. 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21 says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen as equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant." The second scripture reading is 2 Kings 2, verse 9 to 13. And it says, "And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' It happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Here is the end of the reading of God's holy word.
Oh, thank you, Jasmine.
Happy to introduce to you this morning Jelani and Terry Charles, my sons, who will sing to the glory and honor of Almighty God.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gillian Roy and Terrani. I hope I pronounced that properly. Thank you so much.
Gilonry.
Pardon me?
Gilonry.
Tioni.
Gilonry and Terrani.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing with us. That was beautiful. And I just want to say, just one more quick announcement. There's VBS the 27th to the 31st of July. So if you haven't registered your children with your children yet, please speak to Sister Caroline so the children can take part in this. I just want to give a special welcome to our speaker for today. It's Evangelist Terry Charles. His wife Gillian is here with us, Sister Gillian Charles, and of course his two lovely sons who's just sang for us. I know Evangelist Charles, he did not come alone. He brought others with him. It's so great that we can worship like this together, isn't it? So even in a time where we can't physically meet together, we can fellowship, different time zones, different country, and he brought visitors with him, which is great. I know Sister Hermeline, which I said good morning to, she's here from Canada. So I know Evangelist Charles invited her here, so it's just great. Evangelist Charles has been an evangelist for 30 years, and he was born in Grenada. But over to you, Evangelist Charles. You tell us about yourself, please.
We bless the Lord this morning. Good morning, saints of God over there in London. We've got folks in the US, we've got folks in Canada, and besides my family from Grenada, we got a number of other persons from Grenada who are worshiping with us this morning. My beloved Pastor Charles Gittens is online, and Pastor Charles Gittens is a past executive secretary of the Grenada Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And we just greet the Lord this morning. We have folks from my home church here at St. David's, and it's just a joy to just worship the Lord. You know, I keep saying to myself, I thank God that despite the challenges, despite the mountain that we're going through with COVID-19, it is still good to praise the Lord. It is really still good to praise the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Vincent in a very special way for inviting me to join you in worship today. And so to the church there, over there in London, God bless you this morning. And I trust God as we worship together today, our hearts will be touched and more so will be joined into a better and closer relationship with our Almighty God. You know, the topic this morning we want to speak on today is a touch of the mantle leads to perseverance as the key to a powerful living. I want to repeat that. A touch of the mantle leads to perseverance as the key to powerful living. You know, the Bible, our scripture text that was nicely read by our sister this morning, it takes us back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, just laying the basis for the message today. The word of God speaks of the prophet Elijah, but today we'll not focus that much on Elijah. We'll more focus on Elisha. You see, Elijah, the word Elijah, just as a background for us, the word Elijah means that God, Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is Lord. And the word Elisha means God is my salvation. God is my salvation. The prophet Elijah went through a difficult part in history. The word of God says not only was he just going down in age, but Elisha was sort of at a state of despondency, a state of giving up. You know, I found out that sometimes when you stay in ministry, when you're in ministry, and ministry does not only refer to pastoral ministry or prophetic ministry, but whatever God calls you to do is ministry. Could be community service, could be a teacher, could be singing. But sometimes there comes a point in time when you figure that what you're doing is not having the impact that you want to have. And he says that Elijah got to that state of despondency. He got seems to got tired. And he thought to himself that the children of Israel were no longer following and obeying God. And Elijah tried to seclude himself. And that's when God had to speak to him. That's when God said to him, you know, clearly, as he was out there in the cave, the word of the Lord came to him. And that's your scripture reading back in from this morning. If we look from verse 15, you know, God said, he called Elijah and he said, go return to Damascus. Go back. And sometimes we withdraw, but God calls us to go back on our mission. As we're about to pray this morning, may I pause to tell you that even at point in time when you feel to withdraw, even at times when you feel it's about to give up, God is saying to somebody this morning, return back to your mission. Never lose sight of your focus and your mission. Let's bow this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for technology that we can just worship you together wherever we are. So Father, just bless this world today. Speak to me today that I may speak to us in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Yes, my brothers and sisters. The word says in 1 Kings chapter 19, as Elijah was there at that point in time about to give up, and the Lord says, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. I'm backing up from verse 15 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And when you come there, you've got certain things to do. Anoint, first of all, somebody to be king of Syria. Anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall you anoint to be king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shall you anoint to be prophet in your room. Lord, have mercy. Pause with me. What a word. It is okay for God to tell the prophet, anoint those to be king. But here God is saying to Elijah, I want you to anoint Elisha. And listen me, Elijah, the anointing of Elisha is to be prophet, not in another territory, but prophet in your room, the King James says. In other words, Elisha, you've got to anoint somebody to take over from you. Lord, have mercy. Not everybody likes to give up their roles. Not everybody likes to give up their position. But here, God said to him, listen, you've got to anoint somebody to take your place. We'll talk more about that. And he says, you thought it was you alone. How much I love verse 18. Verse 18 says, yet I have left. Because Elijah, previously was saying, they have slain all the prophets, all Jezebel and others, and I am the only one left. And then the word of the Lord says in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, every mouth which has not kissed him. What a word this morning. Sometimes you think you're alone. Sometimes you think that only you alone is still doing what Christians are supposed to be doing. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? The Lord says, Elijah, you're not alone. You're not alone. And listen to me, folks, out there in London this morning. You are not alone going through what you're going through. May I speak to somebody in the U.S., somebody in Canada, somebody in Grenada. You know, we are going through a phase where we are not alone. I thank God despite COVID-19, there are still Christians, may I speak to somebody. There are still believers in every part of the world who will not give up what politicians are giving up, what the doctors and the scientists are giving up. I thank God this morning. There are persons who still believe that there is a God in Israel, a God who is all-powerful deliverer. Hallelujah. And so the word says, Elijah, in verse 19, he departed. And as Elijah departed, he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And verse 19 says, where was did he find him? He found him plowing the 12 yokes of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. I want to pause before I move to the last part. Elijah to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his place. You got to be careful when God wants to anoint somebody, because he has already appointed them. Did I say that right? When God wants you to anoint somebody, he has already appointed them. Elisha was already appointed to be the prophet. But all that was needed now was the human part of it. There's some blood for Elijah to anoint him. But I want to pause to tell you that you got to be careful where you're looking for those who God has appointed to be anointed. Elisha was found in the field, plowing with the yoke of oxen. May I pause to tell somebody this morning that when God is looking for persons to appoint and anoint, God is looking for hard-working, dedicated men. And hey, if you take yourself back with me, when Samuel had to anoint somebody to be king over Israel, when Jesse brought all his sons who were crying, where was David? Little David was out in the field with the animals. May I pause to tell you that hard work is a blessing from God. May I pause to tell you, God rewards you for your dedication and your hard work. Wherever you are today, whatever field you are in, you don't have to be famine, but just be dedicated, committed to what you're doing, and let God use you there until your anointed and appointed time comes. And the word says, continuing the last part of verse 19, the word of God says, as Elijah was walking through the field where Elisha was plowing with his 12 yoke of oxen. We're not going to go into numbers this morning. Numbers are very significant in the word of God. But just note the number this morning as we pass by. Elisha had 12 yoke of oxen plowing in the field. Note with me, the scripture said he was with the 12th one. He was with the 12th one. It means that he was with the last yoke of oxen. And he was there plowing. And as he was there plowing about his business, out there in nature, if you please, the word of God says, Elijah, the man of God, the prophet, Elijah passed by him. Elijah took his coat, if you please. He took his mantle. The word of God calls it his mantle, his outer coat, that thing that gave him dignity, that he wore over himself. That's when he passed by, persons can know that he was the prophet. Elijah took the coat out, if you please. He stripped himself because here before him, plowing with the oxen, was he who God has appointed. And the word says, he cast. Yes, he took that coat out and he touched Elisha with it. And listen to me, somebody, when he touched Elisha with that mantle, Elisha received something that he did not have before. There seems to be that there was power that flew on him. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Talk to me, somebody, this morning. Where the woman with the issue of blood touched the garments of Jesus. The word of God says Jesus felt as though virtue had gone out of him. And that's when he turned around and he said, who touched me? When the coat, the mantle of Elijah touch Elisha, he felt a power. May I pause to tell somebody today, when God touches you, you cannot be the same anymore. You will feel a power, if you please. Elisha felt a power, and he could no longer remain where he was plowing with that 12th yoke of oxen. But the word says he got up, left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah. When God's power get a hold of you, you got to leave where you are and you've got to follow somebody. And the word says, he said to Elijah, as he ran after Elijah, if you look there, there was no conversation with Elijah and Elisha. But just that touch of the mantle, and Elijah went his way. Sometimes we speak too much. Sometimes as men and women of God, we waste time talking instead of just doing what God says to us to do. Elijah, the Lord says, anoint. And all Elijah had to do was to touch him with that mantle. And Elisha left it. And Elisha ran after Elijah. And he said, let I pray you, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Elijah looked at the young man and he said, what have I done? Go back again, for what have I done to you? Elisha was ready to follow Jesus, to follow God, if you please, to go with the prophet Elijah. But he said, allow me to go back. I'm in the field. Allow me to go back and to kiss my mother and my father. Bye-bye. The Bible says in verse 22, of 1 Kings chapter 19. The word says he returned back from him. Just a touch of a mantle. He returned back. He persevered. He persevered. I remember. He persevered. Elijah touched him and Elijah was on his way. But he ran, if you please. He ran after Elijah. And sometimes you've got to run in order to catch up with your mission. He ran after Elijah. He said, I want to go with you, but I need to go back. I need to go and tell mommy. I need to go and tell daddy, Papa. The word says he went back, took the yoke of oxen, slew them, bore them with the flesh through the instruments of the oxen. He gave to the people, and they did eat. Before I read the last part, record tells us, as Elijah shall slew the oxen. As some spiritual writing says, that he literally slew the 12th yoke, the one he was with plowing, the one that meant there to him, the one that was close to him, the one that was dear to his heart, the one that was seems to have been giving him his livelihood. He slew that. He also burnt the instruments, all the equipment that hooked the oxen up together. He burnt it. All those. And he gave to the people that was with him. There comes a point in time when you need to do what God says to you. When you need to have a powerful leading, you've got to get rid of. You got to get rid of. Is somebody hearing me this morning? You got to get rid of, if you please. Get rid of the things that you're holding on to. Those last things that means dear to you. Get a hold of it. Get rid of it, if you please. Burn it. Elisha did. And Elisha, with a touch of the mantle, he followed the prophet Elijah. What is interesting to know? All that began just with a mantle touch. What about a mantle? What about a mantle? Today, we don't place much significance on external things. But I remind us, Moses had a rod. Jesus' garment. For disciples at one point in time, they had crutches. Even the shadows had power. You see, when you are connected with God, power, virtue should come out of you. The words you speak should be words of power, words of influence. The Bible says, Elisha began to follow Elijah. He left those things. And verse 21 end of man says, he rose after slewing the oxen. He went after Elijah and ministered to him. Elisha left those things behind and he began ministering to the prophet Elijah. Why? Because he was about to take his place. Much has not been said of what he did during following Elijah. But by the time we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, the word of God tells us, it came to pass when the Lord would have taken up Elijah into the heavens by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Follow me this morning. Walk with me today. Perseverance. He got the touch of the mantle, but perseverance. For a period of time, he persevered, walking as a young prophet with the senior prophet. Am I speaking to somebody today? Is there an Elisha in the house? Is there an Elijah in the house? Elijah, do you have an Elisha walking alongside with you? Am I speaking to somebody? Is there a father today who is an Elijah? Has there been an Elisha who has been ministering to you, who you are grooming, if you please, into service? Because the time will come, as it came for Elijah, when he's turned to leave here. But I thank God that there's always a way out with God. You see, God knows what he's doing. And so he took with him Elisha from Gilgal. Walk with me today. Why Gilgal? The journey that they're about to embark upon would take them through some places, from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and then Jordan. Where was Gilgal? Gilgal, the word says, as verse 2 says, when they were there in Gilgal, Elijah said to Elisha, verse 2, tarry here, stay here. I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. Stay here, Elisha. Stay here. Tarry here. But Elisha, a man of perseverance, Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth, and as your soul live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Perseverance. Elijah said, don't come. Stay here. You see, Gilgal was a place where Israel camped after crossing the Jordan. Joshua just took leadership of the children of Israel. And they were there after they had crossed Jordan. We'll speak about that. After they had crossed Jordan, they came to Gilgal. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua and his men set up the base of operation for all the many conquests that they had to go into. It was there at Gilgal, according to Joshua chapter 5, verse 6 and 9. We would not go into it now, mark that text down. Joshua chapter 5, verse 6 and 9. It was there at Gilgal that they gathered stones, if you please, and they built there an altar. In fact, Gilgal is referred to as a circle of stones. Circle of stones. As they cross through Jordan into Gilgal, they build there an altar. May I pause to tell you this morning, Elijah was taking Elisha on a spiritual journey. It was not just a hike. It was not just crossing from one country to another. And as they pursued on, the word of God says, they came, the prophets, the sons of the prophets, as they got to Bethel. They moved to Bethel. Why Bethel? Bethel, another significant part in the history of Israel. Bethel is referred to the house of God. The house of God. Bethel also has a place there where we're told what happened at Bethel. Understand the spiritual journey. It was there that night when Jacob was running away. And that night when Jacob felt tired and he laid down on the ground to sleep, the word of God tells us. And as he laid down there in Genesis chapter 20, as he laid down there to sleep, the word of God says that he took a stone and he made a pillow. And as Jacob lay on that stone there and he slept that night, he dreamt. He saw the ladder stretched from earth to heaven. And it was there on that ladder. It was there on that ladder. And as Jacob lay there, when he woke up the morning, he said, surely the Lord has been in this place. And again, Jacob built an altar there. An altar of stone Jacob built. In fact, the word says there at Bethel, the name of the place was now called Bethel, according to Genesis chapter 20:28. The word of God says that it was there at Bethel. Jacob took the same stone that he made for his pillow that night as he got that dream, hearing the word of God, connecting him with earth and heaven. Jacob took that stone and he built there an altar. It was at that point in Bethel that Elijah took Elisha there to Bethel. Perseverance. They moved from Gilgal to Bethel. Mind you, the Bible tells us that when they got to Bethel, the young prophet and the older prophet, the sons of the prophet, they said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away, if you please, the Lord will take away your master from your head today?" I love Elisha's response. Elisha said, "Yes, I know it. Hold your peace." That was the words that came from the sons of the prophet. Those who were supposed to be there to encourage him. Then they moved. Elijah looked at Elisha and he said to him, "Stay here. Stay better." He wanted him to stay in Gilgal. Elisha said, "No, not leaving you. I'm going." They got to better. And again, Elijah asked him to stay here. "Tarry you here." But that young man was persevering. Perseverance as a key to success and powerful living. And Elisha said, "No, I will not leave you." And so they pursued on again on their spiritual hike, if you please. And this time they came to Jericho, according to verse 4. Why Jericho? Gilgal, Bethel, now Jericho. Why Jericho? Elijah had to take Elisha to Jericho as part of the spiritual reminder journey. For what about children of Israel and Jericho? It was there again that the prophet, the man of God, if you please, Joshua, when Joshua took over from Moses, and when they had crossed through Jordan into Gilgal, through Bethel, when they wanted to go into Jericho, Jericho was well fortified with walls, fortified stone walls. That evening or that night, whatever it was, Joshua, man of God, worrying how he would tamper that wall, how they would penetrate that fortified walls of Jericho. And as Joshua was surveying the walls, may I pause to tell somebody today, sometimes when we are in our spiritual warfare, we've got to walk around. Am I speaking to a father? Am I speaking to a mother? Am I speaking to a young boy, a young woman today? You've got to walk around those walls that seems to be separating you from your victory. But I say, don't just walk around those walls, but look up. The word says, when Joshua looked up, Joshua saw standing on the wall a man with sword drawn up. Joshua asked him the question, "Are you for us or our adversary?" The answer came back, "Nay, but as captain," hallelujah, "as captain of the host of Israel, I am now come." What an assurance it was for Joshua. And here it was at that point that Elijah took Elisha there to Jericho. As a spiritual reminder, your captain is in charge. May I pause to tell somebody this morning, as the world suffers with this pandemic, as Christianity seems to be under a lot of pressure, may I pause to tell us that the captain of the house of Israel has not changed. He's still standing there with sword drawn out. It was later on, Joshua got the instruction to march around these walls of Jericho and blow the trumpet, and the walls fell down. It was at that spiritual historic point that Elijah took Elisha. And again he said to him, even despite the critics of the sons of the prophets there again in Jericho, that, "Do you know your master is going away today?" Again Elisha said, "I know, hold your peace." And Elijah said, "Stay here. Stay here. You could do work here." But no, he was not ready to do work until he received what he needed. And he said, "I'm going to Jordan." And so they began their journey to Jordan. Another significant point. The word tells us as they came to Jordan. What happened at Jordan? Jordan was a place where Joshua, again, began a great miracle work. You see, Jordan has always been, the River Jordan has always been a miracle point. Miracle point. You and I in our spiritual walk must know our miracle points. We must know what God has done for us. And it was there at Jordan when Joshua and the band, the host of Israel, was coming through. And as they was about to cross Jordan, they wondered how they would cross. But the Lord gave clear instruction to Joshua. Let the priests, the men of God, with the ark, as their feet touch the water, it will be divided and rolled back. And the word says that happened. According to Joshua chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. And the children of Israel, as the water banked up like it did with the Red Sea, they went through Jordan on dry land. And so it was now. Elijah and Elisha. The word tells us they came there to Jordan. The verse tells us 50 of the prophets, sons of the prophets, they stood there and to look to see what would happen by Jordan. Because they again reminded Elisha, hey, listen, listen. Your master is going today. What are you going to do? Are you going to give up? May I pause to tell you today, let nothing shake your faith in God. Doesn't matter, even though God calls out the seniors, I thank God that the gates of hell will never prevail against his church. In your family today, maybe your mother, your grandmother may have gone, they're going down, but may I say to somebody to hold on to the spiritual legacy. And so, Elijah and Elisha stood on Jordan. Verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Turn your Bibles there. The word says, the mantle, a touch of the mantle. Elijah the prophet took his mantle out again. The same mantle that touched Elisha while plowing the field. He took the mantle out, wrapped it together, wrapped the mantle together. And this time he smote the water. And they were divided according to verse 8. And so the two went over. Stay with me this morning with the word of God. And as they were gone over, God says, as they were gone over, Elijah asked Elisha, ask what I shall do for you today before I be taken away from you. What do you want of me, Elisha? He was about to leave in the next few moments. He did not have lands. He didn't have money. But he asked Elisha, ask what you want. Elisha said, I pray you, let me a double portion. Let a double portion of your spirit, oh hallelujah, be upon me. I don't just want the portion you have. I want a double portion. Because I've seen the difficulty you've gone through, Elijah. If I should succeed after you, the days are getting harder. I need more of the spirit. Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing, my son. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so to you. But if not, it shall not be so. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. You may be on your couch in your living room in church this morning. You may be on your bed. You may be probably somewhere sitting, you know, out in your veranda on your porch. Keep your eyes open this morning. Elisha, if you want a double portion, you've got to keep your eyes open. Because only if you see, you got to see something. And may I say to somebody this morning, that just shall not only just make it because of what they read, but you've got to have spiritual eyes that you might see. Word says, as they continued walking, persevering, tiredness didn't mean to them. Because for that young man, Elisha, perseverance was the key to powerful living. And as they continued walking, Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah. I'm saying to you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody today? Is somebody in church still this morning? It says, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared, I'm reading verse 11, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them both, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha, hallelujah, verse 12 says, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and he rented them into pieces. A tough moment it was for Elisha as he saw the prophet, his master, who he has been with over the period of time. He saw him taken up by the chariots of fire. The whirlwinds lifted him up and he saw him no more in devastation. He shriveled. I thank God the word says he saw it. He saw it. What are you seeing today? But I love verse 13. Verse 13 says, he took up also. He stripped himself, yes, of his garment. And sometimes you got to strip yourself of who you think you are. Sometimes I have to strip myself of who I think I am. He stripped himself of his garment. Tore that in two, but he took up something else. He did not walk away empty-handed. He did not walk away in shame and disgrace. He took up something else. Verse 13 says, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he went back. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm coming down. He went back. He stripped out his, but he had a mantle that touched him. He knew when that mantle touched him, what that mantle did for him. And he went back now, and he stood on the banks of Jordan. He was about to go back on his journey. This time, not with Elijah alone, but with the power of God, if you please with me. And as he took the mantle, he got to verse 14, hallelujah. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And as he stood there on Jordan, there comes a point in time. He was walking before and it was two, but now it was him alone. He took Elijah's mantle and he smote the waters. Smote the waters. Listen what he said. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When also had he smitten the waters? They parted. There, and Elisha went over. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the touch of a mantle, perseverance led to powerful living. There comes the point in time when, if you please, you've got to realize you can no longer just stay where you are and get it. You got to persevere to get it. May I ask the question this morning? May I ask somebody this morning? What legacy are you prepared to leave behind for your children? What legacy for your grandchildren? Where is your mantle this morning to pass on? Elijah had a mantle that dropped from him that he was willing to pass on to Elisha. As God placed us down here below, we must stand ready to be able to pass on our mantle. Hear me, somebody, this morning. The children of Israel had a journey. Elijah took Elisha through that journey. And he could remember where he came from. We must remember where we came from. We must remember the God who is able. That was one of the reasons why Elisha had to go on that journey. I want you to know this morning that our God is able. I ask you this morning, this, my brothers and sisters, I ask you today, do you have a mantle to pass on? Elijah passed it on to Elisha. I fear for our nation because it seems as though if we don't have a mantle to pass on, we are going to bring forth in this world a generation who knows not God. May I pause to speak to families today? What legacy do you have to pass on to your children? I'm not talking about the money you have in Northwest Bank. I'm not talking about the money in Royal Bank. I'm not talking about the money in Barclays. No, I'm talking about a spiritual legacy You know, when you look at Jacob and these men of old, even on their dying bed, they were able to bless their children. I'm speaking to some father like myself, some mother, some grandfather. I'm saying to you, you must have a spiritual legacy, a mantle of leadership. I'm speaking to some pastor this morning. I'm speaking to an elder this morning. I'm asking you the question, are you ready to pass on a mantle? Have you touched some young Elisha with your mantle? Young ladies this morning, have you touched some little girl who's looking after you with your mantle? Middle-aged ones today, have you touched somebody with their mantle so they can receive something from you? And leadership, the mantle represents a role of leadership. The mantle represents the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So many of us are going down in age. We have been in the church, serving in the church, but we're not willing to take somebody under our hands. The word of God reminds us that our senior women must take the young ladies and teach them how to be chaste. There they must teach them how to live good lives, how to take care of their house and their household and their husbands. Her fathers this morning, the same to you. You've got a mantle in your hands. And this morning, God is calling us to pass on the mantle. And may I speak to the younger ones this morning. You must be able to persevere. If you want powerful living, we must be able to persevere. My brothers and sisters this morning, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. When he sent Elijah to anoint Elisha, he knew what he was doing. You know, immediately that man was filled with power and he could have touched the water with Elijah's mantle. The word says that even when the sons of the prophet, they said to him, maybe your master fell somewhere, let's go and see. He didn't have to go because his faith knew that God was taking care of Elijah. He said, nevertheless, if you want to go, go. And you will continue to read the story, the incident with Elijah, powerful man. And even when the children began to tease him and said, go up, ye bald heads. Go up, ye bald. He just called those wolves, those bears, if you please, those animals. And they came and they tore the children apart. Powerful living. Powerful living. My dear friends, today, as the voice leads us in singing, won't you realize this moment, this is your time. Whatever the rule. This morning, in this day and age where some persons are getting despondent, just like Elijah, God is saying to you today, I've got a mantle given to you. Touch somebody with that mantle. Touch somebody with your mantle, your role of leadership, your role of Christian service, that they can rise to the occasion. They can be ministered and minister unto. May I speak to somebody today to say, when you've been touched with your mantle, perseverance is the key. It leads to perseverance, to powerful living. God indeed knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Let him do it through you, with you, and for you. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning that you know what you're doing. When you said to Elijah, anoint Elisha, you knew what you were doing, Lord. Lord, in this day and age, you know what you are doing. You know what you are doing, God. We don't know, we can't understand. But oh my God, this morning I thank you that you still have in these modern days Elijahs and Elishas. Your work will never be stopped. The Jezebels of this world, the pandemics of this world will not be able to stop your work because you know what you are doing, oh God, today. May somebody receive your mantle and may somebody touch somebody, grant somebody the spirit of perseverance to powerful and successive living with prayer in Jesus' precious, mighty, and holy name. Let the church say amen and amen.
Amen, Evangelist Charles. All I can say is amen. I have nothing. I don't know what else to say. We are so blessed. So blessed. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we got to experience a sunrise with you. Yes. While you talk about passing the mantle on. We saw God breathe on Grenada this morning. Thank you so much. Beautiful message. We have the Spirit of God in us to pass on to others. It is our duty to pass it on to others and spread the word of God. Thank you so much, Pastor. Our closing hymn for today is hymn number 264, Oh for the Flame of Living Fire.
Oh for the flame of living fire, which shone so bright in saints of old, which lead their souls to endless fire, hope in distress and danger bold. Where is that spirit, Lord, which dwelt in Abraham's breast and sealed him thine, which made Paul's heart with sorrows melt and glow with energy divine? That spirit which from age to age proclaimed thy love and taught thy ways, brightened thy sea and
Pastor, would you take us out, please? Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we bless your name today. We thank you for your lovely Sabbath day. As we go through the upcoming week and the rest of the Sabbath day today, may we feel your power and may we pass on your power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Charles. Thank you. Thank you so much. We were truly, truly blessed today. And thank you, Pastor Vincent, for welcoming and inviting Pastor Charles here today for him to share this word with us. We are so blessed today. I'm going to stop recording.